funny. Pramila PayPal, she's the one who got to kick a longtime Democrat who had given a lot of time to the party, a lot of volunteering. It was his turn to run for Congress, but they rejiggered things and said, no, you are, white dude, so we're not going to let you run. Or at least the party's not going to back you. We can't stop you from running. The Democrats aren't going to back you because you're white, dude. So we want to have Pramila PayPal step up. So Pramila PayPal, she goes and gets on the TV because she wants Trump impeached, and she's from Seattle, so she's on the TV. She got behind this bill to abolish ICE, baby. Abolish it. Shut it down. Shut it down. They're Nazis. ICE are Nazis. They are Nazis from the olden days, reincarnated into now. Shut it down. Abolish it. So Paul Ryan says, all right, well, we'll bring the bill to the House for a vote. Pramila PayPal. Don't. She doesn't want to vote on it. For it. Pramila PayPal, you are a naked agitator. Well, hold on. I shouldn't say that about Pramila PayPal. I'm sorry. To you. No, I mean, to you, the audience, for talking about a naked Pramila PayPal. That's just wrong. I did something wrong. But I see, now I can't stop thinking about it. Are you guys okay? Seriously, are you okay? Naked hypocrisy. Media coverage in our area. This is partially addressed to some of the reporters I know who listen. Not just reporters, but writers, investigative writers. I love you guys and the work you do. I need you to understand something. This should not be the case. I should not be able to do what I'm about to do. King 5 News, Michael McClure, is talking with a whistleblower. Oh, the whistleblower's name is Michael McClure. A whistleblower who says before the deadly DuPont Amtrak train left, the train that the engineer got 6 minutes or so to learn how to drive, 6 minutes. That fact, a contributing factor, the National Transportation Safety Bureau, one of their board members or a couple of their board members believe was a contributing factor because he didn't have good peripheral vision in that cab of that train. There's a lot to this, but he says that there were electrical problems before the train left, and he was not allowed to address them.
We had a mechanical failure prior to departure.
It's an issue, he says, that impacted the braking systems and should have prevented the train from ever leaving the station. But McClure says his Amtrak managers, who had already demoted him once for raising safety concerns, rushed the route into service. When it finally came to a stop, 3 people died. 62 others were injured, and McClure says immediately...
I was pulled aside by a QA representative of Amtrak and basically told to shut my mouth.
So quality assurance representative, he says, told him to shut up, don't you say a word. Now, here's what I shouldn't be able to do. A, King 5, great job. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Why is it that it took me, a rodeo clown with no training in investigative journalism, to break the story and be one of the few people with all due respect to my friend Dory Monson on Cairo. I brought this story to Dory's attention. He brought me on his vastly popular program to talk about it. That the Washington State Department of Transportation, in their own report, said that line was not ready until there were infrastructure improvements. It was not ready. The infrastructure was not improved. Roger Millar's organization knew that train line was not ready. I should not, King 5, be able to teach people things that they don't know about Amtrak. I should be a commentator, and yet that's a piece of news. That if you didn't listen to this show or hear me on Dory or Dory talk about it afterwards, you would not know that. That's an important bit of information. Roger Millar and WashDOT are absolutely, primarily responsible for this. Because they knew. But the federal monies were too tasty. Here's another example. So the media is talking about a local distillery that they are having to shut down because, or not shut down, but they're having to put off their export plans. This comes from Q13 because of the tariffs. I'm not a pro-tariff guy. No problem saying that. So Q13 runs this story about this distillery. Hey, the tariffs are killing us. We're going to have to change our export plans.
The tariffs have absolutely pulled the rug out from under us. We completely shut down that program.
He even bought a several hundred thousand dollar copper still to increase production for exporting.
It's a big purchase for a small business.
That cost, the lost projected profit, is having an impact professionally.
There's some people we were going to hire that we won't hire now.
And personally.
Hard to not kind of feel like a pawn.
Yeah, I get it. And man, I feel for you. That is so hard. And business running and entrepreneurship, it can be so scary. I get it. Now, good job, Q13. Here's something I shouldn't be able to do. I shouldn't be able to go to you and say, hey, I know that some people who had home-based breweries were reaching out to the media. Because what's happening to them? Is it Trump's tariffs? Shut them down? Nope. It's not. It's King County. These folks had and have licenses to have their breweries to start their small business dreams. All of a sudden, King County said, nope, no more. They didn't give them any explanation at all. I had Melissa Earle from Lumberhouse Brew on my program.
We've been fighting a battle with King County for the last year or so. After being in business since 2014, we were confronted by the county claiming that our approval letters were not actually approval letters. We've gone to the state, and the state's looked at them, and they agree they're approval letters. They're not sure why the county thinks they have the ability to come back now and say we're not licensed and approved businesses. But most recently, we've been able to uncover a document that outlines how they got a hold of liquor-licensed businesses and communicated new regulations that they should be currently functioning under.
So that's King County shutting down businesses they had approved, and they can't say why. But I guess it's not Trump tariffs, so it's not as sexy. So for the folks who are in the media who listen to shows like ours, you should never be in the position of me scooping you. You guys are the news gatherers. This doesn't mean I'm not going to try to scoop you. But the fact that our show teaches people things that your shows don't, should that be a concern for you? We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. You know, the president, it is entertaining to watch him go at Jimmy Acosta. He's over in Europe, has been there, was with Theresa May, etc. I want to talk about that, but something, again, that Facebook is going to do. They're working with academics to spot fake news. All right, once again, I will give a master class on why this will never work and why these Harvard people, they don't even get how fake news is done. They think it's just made up stories. This is something I may know more about than anybody in the country. I can defend that statement. I can. So this here, is this the Who? Yeah. So Darth wanted this to be in honor of young Tom. Okay, let me tell you what we're going to do, because we have an important conversation I want you to hear. There is a young Republican woman. Now, I want you to hear this. We're going to do this interview with her. Her name is Maya Espinoza. She's running in Pierce County to be in the state House of Representatives. I told her this personally. I'm going to tell you something personally. The last time I met someone who is this good in person, she ended up getting into Congress. It's Jamie Herrera Butler. I the second I shook her hand, and she remembers this, I met her in Colorado, and I was speaking there as the chief digital strategist of the RNC. She walked up to me and just said, hi, I'm Jamie. I'd given a speech. And I said, Jamie, when are you running for Congress? She said, how did you know that? I said, it's clear. I could tell by your bearing, the way you spoke during the meeting. I am so jazzed about having met Maya Espinoza. She can be the tie-breaking vote for Republicans in the House of Representatives. She could bring sanity to this area. She could push back against Sound Transit, against taxes. You're going to meet someone young, someone from a military background or military family background, business owner, and someone who, in terms of communication and how she speaks about issues, is the way a candidate should be modeled to do this. And the fact that she's from Pierce County and that the seat's from Pierce County, it being the seat from Pierce County, and that it could change the balance of power? This may be the most important young Republican you've ever heard. And welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. I'm sitting here with Maya Espinoza, running to be state representative. She's a mom. She's a small business owner. Got an incredible background. Comes from a military family. Welcome to the Todd Herman Show, Maya. Great to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
Oh, gosh. Well, I got started in Olympia a few years ago, and it really opened my eyes to what was going on at the state level of government. So I decided to get involved.
Yeah. And what was going on?
Well, so I started with a communications job, and I started in the Senate, actually. So I was doing some communications in the Senate. Actually did a little bit of radio work that way.
Yeah.
But after that, I started the Center for Latino Leadership. It's a civic engagement organization. I affectionately refer to it as a safe space for conservative Latinos.
Needed in the state.
Yeah, I actually saw that right away. In my first year down there, it was just one voice, this hyper-progressive Seattle tone that was dictating, you know, the needs for the entire Latino population of our state. And I was disgusted by it, to be honest. So I started my nonprofit. We started, you know, to say some different things. We don't have an agenda. We just let folks, you know, say what is on their mind and how they really feel that issues are affecting them.
Yep.
And because of my work, I was picked up, or I guess you could say recruited, by the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. It's the Governor's Commission.
Hmm.
And so I was recruited to be a legislative liaison, and I helped actually pass some bills that they had been stuck on. Wouldn't you know it, when you actually do work bipartisanly, you can get things done. And that's what I did. I was successful there. And so now I'm kind of practicing what I preach by running for office myself.
Good. And running as a Republican, obviously.
Yes. Or, yes, sir.
Because Democrats kind of just are afraid to come on the show. So are a lot of Republicans. So running to be state rep in the 28th district. It's in Pierce County. And your friend Monica described this accurately. This could be the swing vote. You could be the person who puts this over the top again, right?
Yeah. Well, it would be the tie vote. Exactly. Yeah. So we'd have to share the gavel, which I think is a great start. Who knew that we were even that close in the state house?
Yeah.
So off by one vote. And actually, the makeup of this district in the 28th, just to paint a little bit of a picture, it's the city of Lakewood, or part of it, part of Tacoma, Steilacoom, DuPont, University Place, Faircrest, and it reaches and encompasses the whole JBLM military base. And now it's joint. So it's, you know, the biggest base on the West Coast. And with my military background, I really thought it was important to represent my community. Person that's in there now votes Seattle's way. The other two are Republicans. So we got a really good shot at this seat, and I think we're going to do it.
So I saw a billboard running down in Tacoma. The news is very excited about reporting the fact that there's Nazis down there. So that's, I guess, the biggest.
Yeah.
There's a billboard running in Tacoma that says there's Nazis in our neighborhood.
Who is? Is it me? Am I?
No, not to my knowledge, unless we just got news. I don't think there's very many Hispanic women who happen to be Nazis.
You know, I saw that tweet from our lieutenant governor the other day that said that we're all, I don't even remember what it was.
Oh, it's a white nationalism.
Oh,
are you
sure.
Part of that, too?
I guess so.
So what are your priorities? I mean, you said bipartisanship. That's hard to do when the left in this state never sees a limit to the money they want.
Right.
They never see a limit to government power unless it involves abortion. And at that point, they think it's completely limited. In your mind, what are your top three priorities as a lawmaker should you win this office?
So the first thing that I want to tackle is tax relief. As you know, we've spent more money than we know what to do with.
Yeah.
We spent all of our surplus revenue that we had. We diverted funds from our rainy day savings account, and then we still raise taxes. In my district in Pierce County, Sound Transit, ST3, is the big bad wolf. You know, we voted it down and we're still stuck with the bill. And, you know, to add salt on the wounds, they messed up the fee schedule where it's based on MSRP.
Well, they didn't mess it up.
Oh, they knew what they were doing.
No,
we
they broke the law actively. In my judgment, they're criminals.
Right. Well, and so we came close last year. And so this is exactly what I was able to do at the commission was where bills had been stuck, where people kind of said, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Yeah, let's move it along. But it just kind of fizzled out before the end of session. The car tab fee fix was in the works last year. Both sides came, both bodies even said, yeah, we ought to do something about this. People are pissed.
Yeah.
And so they came close, and I think I can really come in there as the tie vote, be able to pull people together to be able to solve this issue, at least that component of it. So tax relief's at the top of my list.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. But, you know, and I'll get on to the other two items on your list. Maya Espinosa is with us, running for state representative down there in Pierce County. The other issue with Sound Transit in near your district is they killed people. The Amtrak crash.
Yes.
Sound Transit's engineers, as I understand it, well, they own those tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there were engineers from Sound Transit who had been among the many people to warn them, but so had Mayor Don Anderson.
Exactly.
But it was later in the tracks. He said, hey, look, this thing is going to kill people. He was referring to going through town. Just not heated. No one cared. Is there any way down there to get you guys out from under the boot of Sound Transit since you voted it down? Shouldn't that be broken up? Shouldn't Sound Transit not be able to force you guys into that tax situation?
Well, one of the first things that we can do to address that, or at least have a better say, is by adding people to the Sound Transit Authority Board. Right now, I think there's only two people outside of King County
Yep.
that are on that board, and that does not fairly represent the needs of Pierce County. Actually, it's a pretty fair representation of the way it looks now. We hardly get anything out of the deal. So if we can make that fix, and Senator O'Bann in my district actually did have a bill last year to fix that, and that's one thing that I think we should take up right away.
Yeah. So secondary priority for you. I love the tax reform and tax relief, as you said.
Right.
Secondary priority if you're elected.
So still traffic. Traffic yeah. continues. Even with all of the projects that we have planned, it's outdated before we begin. We need futuristic transportation needs. I think we need to reassess building around transit stations. Right now we have a moratorium on that. I don't know that that's future thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If we're trying to incentivize more people to take transportation, maybe we should look at building up around transit zones. So that does actually tie into one of my other needs, which is homelessness and housing shortage. We need to build more housing. We're accepting something in the tune of 1,100 new residents each week in our state. We don't have housing to support that needs. Homelessness is one component. It's a symptom of that problem. So we need to make it easier to build. There's a housing shortage across all income levels. So I think more housing is the way to solve that problem. Not subsidized housing, not free housing, and then McMansions, but housing at all income levels.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you know, the housing shortage, and I think you're right, you know, that's been artificially held up. Do you observe any politicians here who are inviting people who want to come and live on our streets, who choose that lifestyle? I'm not talking about people who become homeless.
Right,
you know,
right.
Look, there are folks who become homeless
sure.
and they end up shocked. They don't have a place to sleep and friends and family step in, and those folks need help. And God bless the people around here. They're going to get help.
Yeah.
But do you think there are people who come to our area because they want to enjoy the free and now in King County, decriminalize heroin and meth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't have the nickname Free-attle for nothing.
Yeah.
We earned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in Tacoma and in Pierce County, we don't want anything to do with that. I'm actually focused on a homeless youth initiative. It's called Coffee Oasis. It's a project that started in Kitsap County, but it's one of these programs that has actually yielded some improvements. And so instead of, you know, feeding a meal and kicking them out or putting people up for the night and then kicking them out on the streets again, it's a wraparound or a holistic approach to the homelessness issue. So it's food, shelter, services, job training, and job placement. So you earn your keep, you get in the habit of going to work every day, and that stability is what I think is going to lift people up and out of homelessness. We know that there are people that don't want services, and we need to do something about that. But we don't necessarily have that same problem in Pierce County and Tacoma right now. I think we have a little bit of a different approach. Our Pierce County executive is doing a great job of, you know, enforcing the rules that we have. I can't speak for Seattle, but certainly we're doing something different.
Nobody can speak for Seattle. I speak about Seattle. No one can really speak for Seattle.
Right.
So in Olympia, we'll have Governor Bob Ferguson. Okay, so Sideshow right. Bob, part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of gubernatorial campaign donations. Everybody knows he's running for governor. Dow Constantine, or I call Smack Daddy Dow, he's going to try to run. He is so far behind in name recognition, and Sideshow Bob is the darling of the left because he sues Trump every other day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get anything done with the Sideshow Bob who's going to veto anything that's even smacks of bipartisanship? I think he's a dangerous man. How do you work around that?
Well, my seatmate or future seatmate, Dick Meary, gives me a lot of credit by saying that I have good experience working all four corners. So in my experience in Olympia, it's not just in one segment where, you know, he's kind of sucked into and in the House Republican caucus. That's just 1/4 of the equation, as you know. So what I had been able to do in the past is work with the people in the legislature, work with the governor to be able to find out what's movable, what's a non-starter, and how do we come together? Where do we find common ground so we can make genuine progress, not just talk about it?
Mm-hmm. So there's some weird initiatives that are making their way around the state. One of the weird ones, and that I'm deeply concerned by, is this 1639. I-1639.
Yep.
And this is the initiative that, among other treats, one of the things it does to people who want to beg permission to buy a pistol or a semi-automatic rifle is it says, okay, go ahead and waive your healthcare privacy for us. So it constitutes a waiver of that. It is probably 22 topics long in a single topic state. What's your view on gun ownership, Second Amendment?
Yeah, I mean, the Second Amendment is one of our few rights that we continue to take away from. It's one of the only ones that we do that. Every other right we want to expand, and this is one where we continue to restrict. I'll tell you, in growing up in a military family, guns don't scare me. Scary-looking guns, ARs, those are part of the job. I have families on my other side that are hunters. I know how to clean a gun. I know how to take it. Doesn't intimidate me. And moreover, I don't think it's guns that are killing people. It's maniacs. I'll just share that in my district, the city of DuPont, one of the highest gun ownership rates in the state by far, but also the safest city in the state. And so, I mean, you look at those statistics and then you compare it with where guns are banned in different parts of the country. It just doesn't make sense. And I don't see the logic. It's a mental health component. There are all kinds of things that go into, reasons for wanting to restrict guns, but it's very misguided, I think.
Yeah. The other thing that they're going to push, Maya Espinosa is with us running to be in the state Senate from Pierce County.
And House of Representatives.
Pardon me, House of Representatives. My apologies. maybe one day the state Senate. House of Representatives in Pierce County. The other thing that Sideshow Bob Ferguson as governor will push will be this thing they like to call single-payer health care, which means we'll decide where your doctor is, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I got to assume, as a small business owner, you think that is not a great idea?
Yeah, no, as a small business owner, that would make it impossible. As a military kid, again, having grown up on TRICARE, that's the closest thing to socialized medicine I know.
Yeah.
And it sucked. It was not good. You show up, you go to the ER, you sit there all day. It just doesn't seem like a good system. But you didn't have to pay anything, so that's what you get, right?
That sucks, and you can't get in. And,
get what you pay for.
And veterans at the VA just go out and burn themselves to death, but hey, you don't pay.
Right.
All right, so what do you think to be the top attack against you? What are the Democrats going to say about Maya Espinosa? I mean, I guess the white nationalism thing doesn't work. The Nazi thing doesn't work. I've yet to get any vibe of hatred from you.
I'll work on that.
Yeah. what are they going to attack you with?
I don't know. I was told when I agreed to take this on, if they can't dig it up, they'll make it up.
Yeah.
So, I've always been a fighter. Bring it on.
Yeah.
I can't wait and see. I mean, really, what can you hit me with? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out. You and me will be back to talk about it.
Right. So maybe they'll just say, well, she went on with that extremist. Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Hit me with being too young. Hit me with being what? I don't know. That I've seen the evolution of what the Democrats have described me as. At first it was, we're not worried. The seat's totally safe. Then it was, well, she should be considered a formidable opponent. And the last I heard was, yeah, their demographically designed candidate is. I'm like, I'm slightly offended, you guys. I'm not sure.
So your genes spliced together the optimal Republican candidate.
Right.
Okay, got
and
it.
They planted me here 15 years ago when my parents were stationed here. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So how do people get in touch with you, Maya, if they want to donate, they want to help, they want to knock on doors and get you elected out of Pierce County?
Well, thanks. So MayaEspinosa.com, or we made it shorter and simpler with MayaForUs.com. That would be the great way to get a hold of us. Of course, we're active on Facebook. I do a ton of Facebook Live. It's a lot of fun. So while we're out meeting neighbors, or at community events, we'll engage with constituents that way. But we'd love to meet and talk with anybody. I'm always responsive, and it's me personally responding most of the time. So I welcome it.
Good. Maya Espinosa, running for state house out of the 28th.
Thanks so much,
in Pierce County. Thanks. Glad to have you on. Welcome Welcome back to the Todd Hermann Show on AM 770 KTTH, and happiest of Fridays to you. We've arrived at my favorite part of the program. It's your longer email posts to the show. We do the text messages throughout the show. That's 800-465-8770. The tweets throughout the show at Todd E. Herman. You can email me, though, if you got longer thoughts, therman at ktth.com, or thoughts that take longer to express. I don't think there's such a thing as a longer thought. Or, of course, you can hit me up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show. Begin here. Liberals, Todd, are absolutely delusional. Collusion is not a crime, but it's still brought up at every turn. Did Trump Jr. meet with Russia? Yes. Did he receive any information on Clinton? No. Now, did Clinton receive information on the Trump campaign? Yes. And the dossier, which is fabricated and found to be not true, or at least not verified, from a foreign entity, an intelligence agency. Isn't that exactly what they're accusing Trump of? Yes. Information bought and paid for by Clinton to get dirt on an election opponent and Trump. This isn't hard to understand. No, you're exactly right. But the fact is that this is a classic, classic game that the left has been so good at. Accuse the other side of that which you are guilty. Now, I didn't say a name for that because people are starting to send long text messages, right? That if you want your name, sign your name. Because normally we do longer messages through email. But I'm seeing that people are using text messages for that. So please sign your name. 6341. Hey, Todd, thanks for provoking my thoughts every day on the way home from work. Regarding the straws argument in Seattle, I think there's a better argument to be made than it's hurting people with cerebral palsy. Well, it is, by the way, hurting people with cerebral palsy, as we talked about yesterday in the program. It seems proponents of this act and made it relatively clear that for medical purposes, they'd make an exemption to the ban, the straw ban. I believe people with cerebral palsy fit into this exemption. Maybe a small inconvenience for them, but they can bring a personal supply of straws when they go in public in the community. It's not uncommon for people with medical disabilities to bring supplies in the community. This is the issue, I think, with straws. It's not the place of government to be our moral guides, our behavioral support plan implementers, or anything regarding our personal lives and our personal choices. If they can ban straws and cigarettes, they can ban anything they deem unhealthy or dangerous to the environment or society if they can ban straws. My first time eating with recycled forks, the fork melted before I could finish the food. Right. So, look, here's the point about this. It's not their job to be our moral guide. But can I present this to you about the straws? The reason I did that video, that thing took off. Even though I put up the a weak version of it, it was not great footage of me breaking apart a syringe. Did you see that video, by the way? It went phenomenally viral. I broke up a syringe and used it as a drinking straw. I think the real point on this is, honest to goodness, you're going to let people dump syringes all over our city, but people who usually very responsibly throw away their straws, you're going to take away the straws, but not the syringes. I mean, truly, that has to be the message, because it speaks to a madness, an inability or unwillingness to focus down on the actual job at hand. Speaking of Seattle, Benita from Seattle, like that name, Benita. Even the more respectable parts of downtown Seattle no longer have much to brag about. I work next door to the convention center. Freeway Park begins just outside our door. It's a well-tended park, but there is an element in the park and throughout all parts of our fair city that you have to watch out for. From the mattresses balanced precariously on a ledge over I-5 to the cardboard castle outside my parking garage to the gigantic dried-up puddles of urine on two levels of the parking garage that still make my eyes sting when I walk past them. There's not much left to be proud of. Because of the stinking dried-up urine, I've begun taking the parking garage elevator to the park level. This morning, before the elevator doors open, I saw a bright blue color through the crack in the doors. Yes, I now try to see what's waiting for me on the other side of the doors even before they opened. The doors open. Right there was an occupied sleeping bag, bright blue, stretched clear across the sidewalk in front of me. Its occupant was young, was asleep in a non-defensive position, on his back with his head and arms exposed. All around him and in the immediate area were shoes, clothes, food containers, all sorts of trash. And so the garbage can that was right there had been dumped over and the garbage kicked around. I had to step over this young man and walk through the trash to get to work. This is something I would never in a million years have guessed I would have had to learn to take for granted. The rest of the way, I have to remember to walk with purpose, make eye contact with those I cross paths with, be friendly but not too friendly, be cautious but do not show fear no matter what. Good Lord, downtown Seattle is a minefield, and those of you who think it's not bad must be living in a bubble. Benita from Seattle. Yeah, you know, we have we've had family in this week, and they were really, really excited to take their kids down to Seattle Center. And I had to be the voice of realism. I had to say, hey, listen, let's wait until the weekend so I can go with you, so I can be packing a gun and a knife. And they didn't like the message. Why the knife? Well, in case I'm done with the gun. It's that bad. Truly in our area, in certain areas. My wife said, hey, I want to take the kids to Underground Seattle. I said, yeah, you know what? Our daughter loved it. I've taken her there. She loved it. But, you know, honey, remember where that starts. And she said, Pioneer Square. I said, yep. She shook her head. Right across from the King County corner. So not right across, but right near the King County building where we talked about yesterday in the show, three assaults on a single day, June 19th, by the same guy who they let go. Because there wasn't probable cause to hold him. He was arrested a few days later for assault, etc. ad nauseum. Right? That's our city. Back to email. This is from Darlene. Dear Mr. Herman, as I was listening to you prosecute, and yes, that's what you were doing, Roger Millar from the Washington State Department of Transportation and Pete Rogoff from Sound Transit, a couple things occurred to me. Number one, you'd be a really, really good prosecutor. Did you ever think of taking the bar? Number two, I want to write you in for King County prosecutor. I'm not even certain you have to be a lawyer to be the King County attorney or King County prosecutor. I guess I could look into that. But absolutely convinced to not vote for heroin Dan Satterberg. Secondly, as I listened to you prosecute Millar and Rogoff, it occurred to me why they won't come on your show. Now, I've heard you have people on the air with whom you disagree, and you're actually very laid back, but you ask tough questions. I thought you handled the situation with Kim Wyman in a particularly clever way. It's clear that you like and respect Kim and that you know she's in a tough position, but you didn't take it easier on in the least. Yet no one could listen to that interview and think you were anything but kind. I wish you'd reconsider maybe taking the bar and becoming a prosecuting attorney. Is it okay if I write you in instead of heroin Dan Satterberg? Yeah, Darlene, that's fine. I'm not going to do Dory Monson's thing. That's Dory's thing of announcing a write-in candidacy. But if you want to write my name in, that's great. And I appreciate it. And thank you for the note. Thank you for listening. And to answer your question, I used to want to be an attorney, a prosecutor or a defense attorney, one of the two. Because the government, when the government comes at you, you need a good defense attorney. But I found out that you can't do that without going to law school. So even if I pass the bar, my understanding is you still have to go to law school. That's at least my understanding. And to close off the day of emails, our good friend Adam from Coopville with the subject line, backhanded strawman. Hi, Todd. Wouldn't this gun safe initiative be sort of a backdoor way to enforcing prosecution and straw purchases? It seems like criminals who have friends or relatives buy guns for them get off with lesser sentences. But since the aim of this initiative is to go after whoever the gun is registered to, wouldn't this include straw purchases? I've always thought we needed stricter laws about straw purchases and would have rather they done that. They did had just done that. But could this be an unintended consequence for the left? How are they going to react when the girlfriends and cousins of these gangbangers are arrested and handed huge fines? It's a good question, Adam. I believe straw purchases are illegal now. Under 594, I think that that did happen. And I'm sure that all those behaviors have stopped, right? I'm sure they have. All right, Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. We come back. Certain city councilwoman may not be running for re-election. So we've gathered some of her greatest moments ever. That next on the Todd Herman Show.